this very special evening service. Let's stand together with our songbooks, please. Page number 34. Page number 34. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee how great thou art. On the first, lift it up together now.
Tonight is a historical night for North Valley Baptist Church. Over the many decades, we've had the privilege to ordain a large number of men into the gospel ministry. But never in our history have we had the privilege to ordain four men right here from North Valley Baptist Church on the same evening. And so this is a very sacred and a very spiritual night for us as a church family. It's a very special occasion, and we're excited to see Brother Chris Finera separated to the gospel ministry tonight. And he was saved here at a young age, met his wife here, attended school, graduated from North Valley Baptist School and Golden State Baptist College, and he has served on staff for many years now. And then, of course, Brother Luke Flood, our very own, homegrown, born here in the nursery. He wasn't born in the nursery, but came up through the nursery and has served all these years, graduate of North Valley Baptist School, Golden State Baptist College. Then Brother Mike Moyer, I had the privilege to meet him in Bible college in the late 90s. And what a wonderful man of God, all of these men. And been just a faithful man serving the Lord. He has two children now in Bible college at Golden State. And his family has come in from out of state. We're so thankful for him. And then, of course, Brother Reimers, what a gift he is. And they've got family, the Moyers and the Reimers, that have come from out of state tonight to join us for this special occasion. This is a big night tonight. It's our prayer that God would use these men to further the gospel in a powerful way in this day and hour. And so let's pray and consecrate this service and ask God to meet with us in a special way. Our Father, tonight, how truly blessed we are as a church family to witness such an historical event. God, we thank you for these men of God who have given their lives to serve you. They're men who have been proven over the years. And Lord, I pray that tonight would be a special night for their families, a wonderful night, a special occasion for our church family. And Lord, I pray that because of the ordination service and the events of this evening, that our church would be strengthened spiritually. And God, I pray that we would be thrust forward in a powerful way like never before because of what takes place tonight. We ask you to take control of this service from start to finish. May Christ be exalted. May the word of God be proclaimed. And Father, I pray that you be pleased with all that takes place, for we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing.
We have labored in the vineyard of the Lord, and it seems the world has stolen our reward. But God has not forgotten, and when he calls us home, we'll receive eternal treasure and a place of honor near his throne. Seen our faithful service through the years, all the heartaches, all the burdens, all the tears. But do not be discouraged. There's a purpose, there's a plan. A reason for each trial, so trust the meaning of his hand.
It's not in vain. It's not in vain. We serve a risen Savior.
you, choir. 267, please. Page 267. Thank you, choir, for that number. I Stand Redeemed. Here's one of our favorites, 267. Sing it as the choir joins us on the first. Lift it up now.
When I think of all my faults and all my failures, when I consider all the time I've let pass, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love upon my own. Yet every time I come before, get behind in that forest, I stand redeemed.
Sings like that choir, and no church sings like you. I Stand Redeemed. We're going to make sure that everyone has a bulletin for tonight, this program here. And so, ushers, if you'll grab this, and if for any reason we've missed you up in the balcony of the lower floor, just raise your hand. I want you to have a copy of this. And ushers, if you'll save, if there's any leftovers, I want to make sure these men have it for their families to send it to them. And on the very back page, the second to the last page, it notices, you'll notice with me, 59 years and 7 months these men have served this church collectively. 59 years and 7 months. It's a high price to pay. They'll never own a home. It's too expensive. They'll never have things. But they have dedicated their lives to this church and to us. And I hope that you'll always be mindful of that. They're true servants of the Lord. The Bible says we're to lay hands on these men and separate them. We call it an ordination service. An ordination service is when someone for a religious task is set apart. And they said, that's the task of my life. This is what I've been called to do. God's word says in 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands on no man suddenly. I think sometimes we put hands on someone way too early. They're not proven. I would have to say that after 17 years and 7 months, Brother Fanera, and 7 years and 10 months, Brother Flood, and born in the nursery and raised here, as Brother Everson said, and Mike Moyer, 24 years and 10 months on staff, and 9 years and 4 months, Brother Reimers, I'd have to say we're not doing this suddenly. You don't lay hands on someone and then watch them go and get in the ministry and quit. I don't believe you have quitters here tonight. By the way, if you're here and there's not a good father in your home, you could still be a great man of God. I wonder what kind of father the Apostle Paul had. But these men, all four, have wonderful fathers, grandfathers. They have wonderful mothers and wonderful families. And so tonight, we're excited about going to separate these. There's different things that we call it. We wouldn't call this an ordination service for other events. But last week, we had a bride here and a groom, and we separated them. The two became one through a vow, and through a ring, and through a kiss, and through a public announcement. Mr. and Mrs. Coleman Kissel. That was what they were separated to marriage, till death do us part. In the military, there's an oath of allegiance that you will defend this country, and that you'll fight for this country, and you'll renounce all allegiance to any foreign country. So if you're not willing to come to this country and become a citizen and say, this is my country now, I renounce it. That's what you raise your hand to. The President of the United States, they always take a Bible, and they put his hand on a Bible, and he raises this, and he says this, I solemnly affirm, I swear, that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States of America to the best of my ability, and to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. We have we go to a courtroom. We put our hand on a Bible. Do you promise to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but that. You're separating yourself to that task. I'll be a juror. I'll listen. I'll be honest. I will tell the truth, nothing but the truth, or a person that's giving their defense. We have a court oath. We have all these different oaths. We have a wedding vow. But tonight, we are going to lay hands a little bit later on these four men and separate them to the gospel ministry, which they have already been serving. And I'm so very grateful that you're here tonight. It means much to this family. And over here to my right are the family members. Could you stand, all the brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and wives, if you will, and give them a big hand tonight, will you please? We'll let you be seated, and we'll take these men in order. I wish we had time to hear the extended testimony that Tuesday night with the deacons we heard. But I'm going to ask them to do two things. Give their personal testimony of salvation. And secondly, to give their call to the gospel ministry. Brother Fanera, you're first.
I'm so thankful for that song we just sang. Tonight I have nothing to boast or brag about other than to say I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I thank God for that. I was born into a good home. I had loving parents who took care of my three younger brothers and myself. It was obvious that they cared for us. They gave of themselves for us. And yet, while I had a good home, it was a home without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in the late 1980s, my mom was invited to attend North Valley Baptist Church. It was a big day service. She came. She heard the preaching. And she walked an old-fashioned aisle. She put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that forever changed my family's legacy. She began to pray that my dad soon would get saved, and in a short amount of time, my dad also got saved. From that time on, they began to bring my three younger brothers and I, and we began to attend North Valley Baptist Church. Every time the doors were open, we were here. The first experience I had attending church was sitting in Brother Skirty's primary church. For the first time, I heard songs about the Word of God. I heard lessons, Bible lessons taught to me each and every week, and that began me down a wonderful path. I was 8 years old. We'd been attending the church for maybe about a year and a half. And my dad came home. It was a Tuesday night, April 21st, 1991. And like he normally did, he walked inside the house and he said hello to the boys, gave my mom a kiss. And then immediately he said, son, talking to me, he said, I need to see you in your bedroom. And if you remember your childhood, that's usually not a good sign when your dad walks home and says, I need to see you in your bedroom. Immediately, my mind began to race, and I began to think through the events of the day and began to think, what did I do wrong, and which one of my younger brothers can I blame this on? But that was not the case in that specific time. And I walked into the bedroom, and he opened up the Bible, And there at my bedside, he showed me from the Word of God how I could be saved. And as an 8-year-old boy, I bowed my head. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it forever changed my life. My parents sacrificed and put me through the Christian school. Me and my younger brothers, I had the opportunity and the blessing from the time I was in third grade all the way through graduation in 2002 to attend North Valley Baptist School. When I was a seventh grader, I attended my first youth camp at Mount Zion Baptist Camp. Pastor Treber was the guest preacher that week of camp, and God began to speak to me in a very real way. Each and every service, I felt God tugging at my heart, convicting me to go forward and to surrender my life. But if I could be honest, I fought it. I fought every single service. I sat in my chair and I wouldn't go forward because I knew that if I went forward and if I made a decision, I was going to have to stand in front of everyone that night and I was going to have to tell them that announcement that I had made a decision, and I was too shy and too scared to do that. And so I fought it as hard as I could. Finally, on that Thursday evening, God got a hold of me and I went forward and I bowed my head and I said, God, I give you my life. I'll do whatever you have me to do. I surrendered to preach on that evening, and I look back on that. I'm so thankful for pastors preaching. I'm thankful for the camp that Brother Rule hosted. And I'm thankful that God spoke to me. From that time in my life, I was blessed to be able to have Sunday school teachers, coaches, school teachers, men and women of this church who invested in my life, who invested in the life of my wife. I was blessed to meet my wife at the age of 8 years old, and we began to write notes back and forth. And I like you, do you like me? Check one, yes or no. And I still have many of those notes to this day. But as I look back, I can see how good God's been in my life. And God has blessed us with the opportunity. We've been married almost 20 years now. God has blessed us incredibly with 4 amazing children. We thank God for them. As I think about these last 17 years and being able to serve here in the ministry, Pastor mentioned just a minute ago that it's been a sacrifice. But if I could convey my heart to you, it's not been a sacrifice. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And as I think about all the men and women who've invested in my life, who've invested in my wife's life, who've sacrificed so I could have a Christian school, sacrificed so we could have a Golden State Baptist College, for all the love, the kindness, this is the absolute least we can do to give back. And tonight it's such a tremendous honor to be able to be ordained and to continue to serve you. North Valley Baptist Church, we love you. Amen. I thank God for you.
Amen. I grew up, in my estimation, the absolute best home that ever was. My parents met here at North Valley Baptist Church, were married here at North Valley Baptist Church in the old building on Clyde Avenue. And I remember growing up in an absolute amazing home. And I was no stranger to the salvation, the plan of salvation. I went into Sunday school classes. I was in Brother Curtis Riddle's Sunday school class. I was in a lot of other Sunday school classes growing up. And I battled salvation for myself. And I know I'm not alone when I said that there were times where either in the night or I would be at home and there was nobody around. And I thought the rapture had taken place and I was left behind. And I'd go around the corner and I'd see if anybody was there. I'd listen very intently to just see if I could hear somebody. And I was afraid. And I battled salvation for several years growing up, and I remember my family would always sit together upstairs in the middle section of the balcony over in Clyde Avenue in the old auditorium, the green and yellow pews. And I remember oftentimes where pastor would give an invitation, and he would ask, you know, if you're not sure that you're saved, would you raise your hand? And I'd kneel at the pew, and just very, very shyly, I would raise my hand about this high. And I didn't want anybody to know. I thought I was embarrassed. And it was August 1st, 2003. I was working at my grandparents' house over in South San Jose. And before we got to work that day, and every single Friday of that summer, I went down to their house to work, and we would stain benches together, and we would blow leaves or rake leaves together, my grandpa and I. And before we got to work that day, my grandma said, Luke, I need to see you in our living room before you work. And much like Brother Fanera, I was afraid. My grandma, she's the most loving person, but you do not want to be on her bad side. And I went into the living room, and right there, we got pretty serious. And my grandma said, Luke, I don't think you're saved. I don't think that I think that you have not been baptized. I don't see any evidence. I think that you're not saved. So, Grandma, I want to deal with this privately. Is this something that I can do privately? And she said, no, this is something you cannot do privately. Right there in the living room that morning, she pressed me, and I'm so glad she did. Because even though I had many times said, Lord, if I don't mean it this time, I really mean it now. But ever since that day, I can claim August 1st, 2003, where I called on Jesus and asked him to come into my heart and to take away my sins and forever be with him in heaven when I die. And at that time, I can claim that day, and I've never had a doubt since. Growing up in the Christian school, I went to many conferences, many camps. At youth conference 2010, many of you remember, on a Wednesday night, we had an invitation that lasted for 3 hours. To be honest, I could not even tell you who preached, but that night I remember making a decision for whatever God would have in my life, that's what I wanted to do. Whatever God's will was, that's what I wanted. And I didn't know necessarily what that meant, I didn't know what that all entailed, but I wanted God's will. Came to Golden State in 2011, but between the summer of my sophomore and my junior year, God really used the bus ministry at Golden State Baptist College to change my life and to really tell me what he'd have for me to do. That summer, between my sophomore and my junior year, they asked me to become bus captain of bus route number 23 downtown San Jose. And I thought, that's not something I could do. There's no way I could do that. I have no idea how to do that, even though I had been involved in the bus ministry in high school and even the beginning of college. I just thought, I don't know how to do that. I don't think I can. And during that summer, God used Romans 8:31. The Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I thought, if God's for me to become bus captain, who am I to say anything against God's will? What am I to say that, God, this is not your will for my life? How can I say that? And so I said yes to becoming bus captain. In that third week of my junior year, my third week of becoming bus captain, I'd only been a bus captain 3 weeks, and we were picking up on a Sunday morning, that September, and I remember making all of the stops, and we were going through all of the different visits that we had, and kids were piling on the bus, and riders were coming on the bus, and those old 1987 Internationals that had the horrible turn radius, and the gas pedal was all the way down to the floor, you'd go 40 miles an hour. But I remember those seats starting to get fuller and more full as we'd make all the stops. We were about the third to last stop on that Sunday morning. I went and I ran to the door, got the children. We come back on the bus and I had them go sit down, but they couldn't sit down. There was not a single seat left. The entire bus was packed. And from the front all the way to the back. And that morning right there, I believe it was on 3rd Street, downtown San Jose, I told my workers, I said, you got to get off. And I kicked my workers off and I said, you got to find your own ride back to church. We got more people to pick up. And so I left my college workers there in downtown San Jose. We went and picked up more riders. Myself was bus secretary and the bus driver. And we went to church that morning. But I remember weeping. I remember saying, this is just God. This is not, I know for a fact that this is not me. This is God. And through my college years and through that bus route, God used that to really change and shape my life. Every single week of my life in college, I would do the assignments, I would go to my job, I'd do my work, but I lived for Saturday and Sunday. I wanted to see my kids. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted God to use me. And I just remember one particular evening in my senior Bible college, I said, what else could bring this much joy and fulfillment in my life? I want God to use me for the rest of my life. Upon graduating Golden State, became bus director here at the church, and God has used our church many, many times since. It's just amazing to see that God could use somebody even like me. And I really don't have any talents or any abilities to offer, but God can use even the most base person for his will. And that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And this ordination service means the world to me. That I get to separate myself for the ministry. Say, God, just use me, whatever you'd have me to do. I want to thank North Valley Baptist Church for the opportunity. This is an amazing church, and it's such a privilege to serve here.
Two ladies, they changed my life. They changed my family's life. You see, it was two ladies who came by while my mom was expecting me, and they knocked on our door. there in Tacoma, Washington. They invited my family to Bethel Baptist Church. My parents went to that church, were saved, and because of that, I had the privilege to grow up in a Christian home, the greatest Christian home. And at the age of 10, after hearing the gospel preached many times and hearing the preaching of God's word, at the age of 10, God worked in my heart. And my mom, there in the top bunk of the bunk bed, she showed me the plan of salvation and led me to the Lord. And I'm so thankful for those two ladies who invested in my life by simply just knocking on our door and inviting us to church. Not only two ladies, but there was also a group of men who made a great impact in my life as well. You see, I don't know why, and I really can't explain it. It's not me or anything special, but as long as I can remember, I've wanted to do something for God. But I knew I couldn't. I was so shy, so introverted. You've heard my testimony perhaps, but in class, when the teacher would call roll, and this was in my first year of college, by the way, before I came here. But when they would call roll, I know my name is M.M., so when they would get to the center of the roll, I would get so nervous. Like now. My hands would get clammy. My ears would get warm. I'd begin to breathe really fast, and my heart began pounding quickly because I had to say, "Here." And because of that, I knew I couldn't be used by God. God had been working on my heart and working on my heart for years. And I kept telling God, "You got someone wrong. I'll do this and I'll do that. But I can't serve you. I can't serve you in the ministry. I can't do anything. I'm so backwards. I'm so shy. I'm so introverted." It was 1997. My pastor there in Spanaway, Washington, he preached a message from the story of Gideon. And there was one phrase from that Bible passage that just smote my heart. It simply says this: "Have not I sent thee?" I said, "Okay, God. I don't understand it. I don't know how you would use me, but I'll do whatever you want." And can I say, I haven't regretted it one bit. Amen. By the way, that group of men who made an impact in my life, that was a group of deacons from the North Valley Baptist Church that voted to go ahead and follow Pastor's vision that God gave him to start Golden State Baptist College. Because of you and because of church members just like you, you voted with your pocketbook, you voted with your prayers, and you started Golden State Baptist College, and I had a place to go to train for the ministry. I met my wife there. We graduated in 2000, 2001. I got my master's. We were married. I came on staff for full time there in 2001. I have two wonderful children, and may I say thank you. Thank you for your investment. And thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I, like these men, was privileged to be born into the greatest home. I was born into a Christian home, and my parents were saved before I was born. And I was born in Youngstown, Ohio. My dad was in the Air Force, and consequently we were stationed there. And I remember from the youngest ages that I was able to remember, I was in church. And my parents served the Lord. They were an example of servants. My dad would lead the singing, and my mom and dad involved in Sunday school. They've been bus captains. They've been deacons. And from a young child, I've seen an example of faithfulness and service. And as a kindergarten boy, I was privileged in Massachusetts to attend a Christian school. And I remember my Christian school teacher once morning teaching on the plan of salvation in heaven and hell. And I remember being very afraid of hell. And I remember her invitation. I remember seeing people go forward. And I was very shy, and I didn't go forward. I waited till recess. And I met her there on the playground and talked to her. And I prayed a prayer. I made a profession of faith that day. But for many years, I struggled with doubts. Did I understand that decision? Did I go forward just to follow my friends? And I had reoccurring doubts about that profession that I made. And June 23rd, 2017, after the youth conference here at North Valley Baptist Church, I was really contemplating my own salvation. And I didn't want to take a chance with eternity. And so on June 23rd, 2017, I knelt at our couch in our living room and made sure that I was saved and trusted Christ as my Savior. That's the best decision I've ever made. Amen. I'm very thankful that as a boy and as a teenager, I was privileged to grow up in a wonderful church, Heritage Baptist Church, and our pastor had a burden for missions. Every year we would have missions conference. It was during a conference that God began to work in my heart, and I began to really contemplate serving the Lord. And I remember on a Saturday night during what we would have as our international banquet, a dinner where we would have international food and gathered together as the church. I remember during the invitation that night going forward with my dad and kneeling at the altar and surrendering to whatever the Lord would have me. I surrendered to missions, but I didn't know what God would lead me to do. That was the greatest decision after salvation, was just to give God my life. I didn't realize it that by surrendering, He would just continue to lead me step by step. I didn't realize that a few years later I'd have the privilege of visiting Golden State Baptist College as a high school student. I didn't realize that a few years later I'd have the privilege of coming as a freshman. I was very nervous and afraid and shy as I arrived on this campus. But I'm so thankful for the investment that this place has made in my life. I met my wife here. And then after graduation, we were married here. And I'm thankful that we've had the privilege of serving here. I echo the Apostle Paul when he says in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, and that He enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." And it's the greatest privilege of my life to serve the Lord here, and I'm very grateful for it. Amen. And I'm thankful for this service. You people are very near and dear to my wife and I. We love you dearly, and we're so thankful that we have the privilege of working here. There's no greater church, there's no greater pastor, and there's no greater people than the North Valley Baptist Church.
Just a tremendous testimony to hear these men speak, and all of them love you dearly. I think you've seen that. We've been taking pictures for them while they're behind the pulpit, and now I'd like to have their families join them, and they're going to take just one picture for each family. So, men, if you'll come down here where your place is, then your family's going to join you, just your immediate family, your children, your wife, and we won't have them kneel right now, but if we'll get the men in their place first, and then our photographers here for the media, they'll take pictures. But if any of you say, "I want a picture of that family," you're more than welcome to come and take your any parents or grandparents or youth or whatever it might be. And we have over here to my right the Fanera family, and we thank the Lord for them. They're just a wonderful family. Our principal for all these many years in the school, 17 years. Joel, you have to get with the right family, brother. Are you going to come over here? All right, Brother Luke, let's have you move over to just a little bit of flood, a little bit right here. And I'm not in any picture, so I'll move out of the way. This is Riley, Hudson, Reagan, and Fanera. Riley, Hudson, Reagan, and Addison Fanera. Can you believe I did that? I was thinking ahead of time, these are all the J's. But I call this little one on the end Shirley Temples. That's who she reminds me of all the time. That's it. Let me get out of the way. Good. And then, of course, the Moyers with Aaron and Megan right here. And let me get over out of the way here. And then the Reamers and their three precious little girls. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you after this last picture just to give them a clap of applause and thank God for these great men, these sweet, godly ladies. Imagine how odd it would be to have three good ladies and then one snake. They're all perfect, Proverbs 31. Give them a big hand, will you please? Now,
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my life to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day with Him eternally.
tonight we're going to dismiss in a moment the wiggle worms. Would you grab your songbook and go to page 504, please? We'll sing just the chorus. A few songs together that talk about serving God. Children, tonight, if I could ask you with your parents to slip out this way to the lobby, and I won't see you tonight, so we can keep this moving here. And parents, if you go from the lobby over to the children's ministry, that'd be wonderful. The deacons also be going that way, and we sing this song, To Be Used of God, and then there's a song on page 119. Let's try it. To be used of God, to sing, to sing.
To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to
one of our favorites, 582, please. I don't regret it, Mile. Sing it together. I don't regret.
Turn with me in your Bibles or Scripture tonight to Acts chapter 13. Thank the Lord for the deacons the church has given to me tonight. And what a blessing they are personally to me and to my wife and to this church. I guarantee it, they pray for you, and I thank the Lord who they are. Orchestra, will let you come ahead and slip around if you'd like to be part of all this as well. Before the soloist sings, we're in Acts chapter 13. And this is an illustration of the ordination of these men that were being separated to the gospel ministry. I think one day, maybe if you're not aware of it tonight, you're going to become aware of it, that this is a huge, high moment for this church. Do that, realize, and this is nothing against any church. Listen, the average church size in America, the average church size is 46 people. So most churches will not have this privilege. And not only do we get this privilege, we get it quite frequently, but we also have four amazing men of God tonight. Amen. And I love working with them. All my staff, I've just been thinking all this week. I keep looking over there, see you, Brother Oxendine. What a privilege. What an honor. And I go through all the men and ladies. And it's just, I wish you could know what it's like. Orchestra, come on in, if you will. Acts chapter 13. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon were called, Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mayan, which was been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch Saul. The ministry of the gospel was founded in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, after a while, was not what it was, and they moved the gospel sending station to Antioch. And friend, I don't take it lightly that for some reason, God's grace, He chose Santa Clara, California. That is not to say other churches are not doing great things. I know of a small church in Texas, real small, and I believe its number 200 missionaries have been sent out of that small church. So we're not the only one. But I thank God that you've had a heart for the Christian school and for the college and for missions and for Bible distribution and soul winning and investment in missionaries and all that you do on a daily project. The radio now around the world and live stream 24 hours a day. We'll have you folks come in. The Bible says in verse 2, "And as they," these people ahead, "ministered to the Lord, they fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me. Take him apart from the congregation. Separate, ordain Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to their minister." I want to pray in just a moment, and just speak very briefly. We'll lay hands on these people, but I want you to think about this, as they in a few moments will kneel at these steps with their wives, not with their children, just husband and wife. I'm going to call on you to pray about surrounding, not on the steps, but lower floor at the invitation. I'm going to claim that man and that wife to pray for them. Amen. And I'm going to claim that man and that wife. And then I'd like our other pastors to be present, because someone is being spoken to tonight about serving God. I would think in a crowd this size, you hear these four men, everyone excited about serving God. They have been serving God. But everyone said, "I never thought I could do it." But consequently, look what God has done through their lives. A man that was afraid to say, "Here." And he is a great preacher now and a great radio man. But at first he started hiding behind the microphone. But the message of this church has gone to the thousands and tens of thousands every week because of that. Before I have prayer, and I'm afraid I'll fail to remember this at the close of the service, a little girl was just taken to the children's church tonight, and her mom and dad are going to give her another little girl on October. It's right around the corner, the 8th. Congratulations to Thiago and Natalia. Will you stand right there? Give them a big hand. We love that couple, saved 7 years ago on Easter. Father, thank you for Thiago and Natalia that they are now raising a godly little girl, Cindy, and now another baby coming. Bless their home. And thank you for this privilege tonight. And Lord, help me just be brief, but give something that would be a challenge to these four men of God and to this great assembly. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Though often I failed and brought Him much shame,
Jennifer, thank you for your family. And of course, we remember when that little girl was born here, raised, educated, trained. She's a mother. Wow, what a thrill. It's such an honor for me to be here tonight. And I tell you, I hear these men's testimony about who you are. That's what I echo. Just such good people. What a wonderful church. The Bible says in verse 2, separate. Separate. Look what he says there. Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work wherein I called them. This entire thing of being ordained tonight begins with being separated. To separate means to be called out. We have four men here on this platform. They've been called out. For what? Called out from so many. That doesn't make these men more important than you. But everyone either needs to be a shepherd, a pastor in the Lord's work, or you need to support somebody in the Lord's work. Amen. You support through prayer. You support through encouragement. I do not think these men need a negative note from you to stay humble. It is my job to keep them encouraged, to be a good cheerleader, to thank God for them, to tell them they're doing a great job. And I see maybe they might get a little bit weary in well-doing. It's my job to maybe spend some time at night awake praying for them. These are men of God. Amen. They're in our presence, men of God. Amen. And like we have so many men of God in here that are preachers of the gospel. But they've been separated. These men have been appointed to a special purpose. I hope we can serve together till the day I die. But all the men, as they were talking, I would hear things that maybe you didn't hear. And none of these deacons would ever mean to be a grief to me. But they indicated that maybe one day, if God would take you to pastor a church, or maybe this church, and then the questions would follow. I believe right now, I know I have some staff members that said, "Pastor, as long as you're alive, I'm staying with you." And I've heard that before, but I have some staff that I think that's their life. I just believe they were raised up for that. But I can't believe I have men of this caliber and people that work with me. They're special. Oh, I know staff members, male or female, sometimes maybe we're a little, whatever it is, we're human. You have been blessed, church. We've been blessed with these deacons. I don't see fault with them. They're men of God, and they have difficulties in life. But to think that we have deacons, 38 deacons, that love God, love this church, that love their pastor and their wives. And then to think that we have staff, and then we have members. These men have been called aside for a specific purpose, and they cannot do that without humility of heart. I don't need to go there. We were there Wednesday night. But they're called from the crowd to serve the crowd. The second thing I find, not only were they separated, they were actually called, "Separate me, Paul, as Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them." You heard all four men's call tonight. God's knocking their door. I will promise you, young lady, God's knocking at your door tonight. We resist because I think of what I have to give up. I'll never be able to fill in the blank if I go God's way. If I sell out, I'll never be able to drink. Although I'm against intoxicating drinks, and you hear it in the scripture, I really don't ever preach about that. But if that's what's holding you back, you want to drink wine or drink liquor, or you want to do things that maybe you just know in your heart are worldly, but you're fighting God, young lady. You're fighting God, young man, because you say, I don't want to give that up. Let me tell you something. You never give anything up for God that you don't always gain beyond what you thought you were giving up. That's what that song, Brother Martinez, you were singing it with us. "I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret the time I've trusted in His word. I've seen the days go by, many days without the sun, but I don't regret a mile." You parents, you know, they've gone through hard times already, and they'll go through hard times again. And as a parent, it breaks your heart. I think of this man after 24 years living in an apartment in the men's dorm. That's not right. And this man living in an apartment in the men's dorm, it's not right. Somebody by now should have bought us an apartment complex, or somebody in America, somebody a condominium complex or something. It's cost prohibitive to build a building here. We have men of God, women of God. Brother Oxendine there, he and his wife have lived in a little rental house when they went in it 30 years ago. Needed to be remodeled. It's clean. It's organized. It's nice. But it's about 50 years too old. Never a complaint. Never a gripe. I tell you what, when you're called to do something, when you're called to do something, you'll do anything to obey the call. I didn't call these men. The college did not call their men, these men. Their mothers and dads did not call these men. Their family did not call these men. Government did not call these men. But God called these men for a task. What an honor that we can be part of that. I see they're, pardon me, separated. I see they're called. Look what they were doing. They fasted. They fasted. Verse 2 speaks about fasting. Verse 3, you know what fasting is? It's self-denial. You are looking at four men here that have denied themselves. They're not rich. They don't have retirements. They don't have investments. They don't have hobbies. I'm not against what other preachers can do. God bless them. It's amazing how many preacher friends have cabins or ranches or farms or hunting, everything about hunting. And I'm all for that. God bless them. Memberships to golf courses. It's wonderful. They can do that. Can't do that here. I don't think they have any desire for that. Because Paul said, this one thing I do. They fasted. They denied themselves. And denial is showing up where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Last Wednesday night, we don't really go to folks' houses very much. Nobody wants us to come to their house. I don't know about that. We went to the Sloan's house. Brother David Sloan grew up, his dad was a medical doctor. He took his skills and went to the mission field 50 some years ago. He's home with the Lord now. Every one of Brother Sloan's family are serving God full time. It's an amazing thing. Large family. He had been years there as a missionary in Mexico. Then they went to Ukraine. And he learned the language and a great ministry. And then he got kicked out of Ukraine. And you know the whole story of what happened with over in Ukraine with Putin and whatnot. And he'd go 6 months to Ukraine and 6 months to Israel. Had to go back and forth, back and forth. That's how their family lived. And then about 11 years ago, God brought him here. He's preaching at the other property, the Spanish ministry tonight. Their rent went up $500 a month. They couldn't afford it. He never told the Spanish ministry. He didn't tell me. I found that out through, I think, my wife, through his wife or something. So they moved from a nice place, renting. And they moved to an apartment complex. We went there. It broke my heart. After 25 years in the ministry, you go into a parking garage, and I know all that, and maybe you live that way. Got in an elevator, went to the third floor, and went to their door. And it's beautiful. It's nice. It's clean. A lot of amenities. Right over here by Target. I left that night. I couldn't sleep. I was so broken. That's on my watch. He's doing that. After 25 years living in an apartment. You see, to serve here, Brother Everson, wherever you're out, not in your usual spot,
He was a pastor 19 years. He had a beautiful home. I'd preached in his church. I was at the home. Beautiful home. But to come here to help us, 5 years ago, he had to sell it, and he lives in a rental. You can't ever buy a house here. And I'm singing the same song that you have to sing. One of the greatest prayer needs on my list right now, before God takes me to his presence, if I outlive the rapture, if I die before the rapture, I'm just praying God would raise up somebody to give us apartment complexes or something we could remodel as men in the church and make it somewhat nice places, a secure place, beautiful places where these people can live. I think of so many of our college, our ladies that are on staff, the single adult ladies living in the ladies' dorm in a single room, or the men living in a single room. They're doing that for us. They want to serve us. I'm just saying, when you fast, you say, I'm going to deny myself. And then look in verse 2 again, and separate me, Paul and Barnabas and Saul, for the work. The ministry is not play. Every one of these men and every one of these ladies on our staff, and men and ladies, they are not coming in, pardon me, late to work, and then the next thing you go an hour to coffee, and then they go to a 2-hour lunch. They just run in, work, run, on the run all the time. Why? They work. I'd love you to watch their work. I watch K5, K4. I watch the kindergarten teacher back here. I just saw her when I was speaking. First grade, second grade, third grade. You know, you never get breaks teaching school. And lunch you eat with your kids, and you watch your kids and pretend. And you know that's the way it is as a teacher. You know that. And I don't like to say this because I don't believe in it. I didn't want our staff doing it, but most have to pick up a part-time job to do something. I'm sort of bearing my heart to you tonight. They do that for us. And the Bible says that there's a work. There's a work. It's not party boys. I would never want to be rude to preachers. I think if I really knew how to work that internet thing, I'd be so discouraged, because I hear enough through, look at this picture, and said positive, not tattling on something. I think, how do you have time to do all this stuff? They're over here, they're over there, and look, take a vacation, be gone a Sunday, maybe two. I understand all that, but it just seems like everything, what's the party today? Paul said, I was abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of God is the best, but it's not the play, it's the work of God. Tonight, these men possess these qualities. And because they possess these qualities, and they've been examined by the deacons, and we have watched their lives as they gather, just the men on these steps, you four men, I present a motion from the Board of Deacons tonight, from Brother Van Dyke and the deacons, men, if you'll come. It's a unanimous decision for us. As a motion to the church family, we call this business meeting to order. There's a motion on the floor that we ordain and separate these men to the gospel ministry. Is there a second tonight? Way in the back, Brother Manna, God bless you, and by the post, the usher. There's a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? We'll ask these men's wives to come and join them. And fellas, if you'll kneel and help your wife up here when she gets here, and you'll kneel, they'll know where to go as well. Our Father, tonight, it's such a special privilege to separate these men to the gospel ministry. They've already been in for 60 years together. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. We'll ask the deacons to come and surround him. The man will lay hands on the hands of the on the shoulders of the men. And I'm going to get over here. What a sight this is. As you men gather, we'll have the photographers take. You could take a picture too. This is such a privilege. Brother Oxendine is coming to lead us in prayer. As we separate four, what a sight. I'm looking on that screen right there. What a beautiful sight. Young people, you are being privileged right now. Parents, family. Brother Ox and I, when you pray and ask God's dedication on these lives of these four men.
Father, we're so very grateful for these four men. Father, I can't help but think about all of those that invested time into the lives of these men. Lord, I think about Sunday school teachers and Christian school teachers. Think about pastors and youth pastors, college professors. I think about parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. And Father, the list can go on and on. I first pray, Lord, that you would bless these individuals. And Lord, I think about these men. I'm so grateful. It's very obvious that these are men of God. It's very obvious that these men love you. Very obvious that these men have served you, and I pray, God, that you would bless them and their families, Lord, for what they've done so far. Father, we do pray now that as they continue to live for you and serve you, we ask for your wisdom and your power and your strength and your safety upon them and their family. And Lord, I know that these men have such a desire to serve you and to serve this church, and God, help them. But I pray, Lord, that the church will do our very best to serve them as well and be a blessing and be a help and be an encouragement to them. And Father, right now I do pray that you would move upon the hearts of young people. Please. Young people that will have a desire to stand in the gap, to have a desire to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen. Have a desire to live for you and to serve you and to enter into full-time Christian service, or perhaps just simply be a godly layman, layperson, Lord. Father, we understand that the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. Help us, Lord, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you and be serious about living for you and serving you. We sure do love you, Lord. In your name we do pray.
Amen. Congregation, will you please stand as we give an invitation, and you men and you ladies, if you need to stand because you've been kneeling for a season, I'd like folks to come and surround down the lower floor and say, I want to pray for that family, and just pray at the invitation. In addition, I'd like to have young people and folks to say, here am I, Lord, send me, I'll do anything. The song is being played, the invitation song. Would you come right now? I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I believe God wants to do something. We're going to have to reach this world quickly now. I preached this morning and I was wondering if the Facebook would take it down, and I was reported today they took the message down. It breaks my heart if that's true. They said it violates their policy. I preached only the Bible. God have mercy on them. They took it down. What does God want you to do, young lady, with your life? What does God want you to do, young man, with your life, young couple? As Brother Oxendine, he did not know I was going to call him, but I just enjoyed hearing him pray. But as he said, maybe you're supposed to be a godly layman, a lay woman, a young person that just is a good Christian. There's someone that could get a picture from the front here. I'd like to see that or somewhere. What a beautiful sight. People surrounding, praying for these sweet couples.
Father, we're grateful for tonight, and what an honor, what a privilege. I've felt like this for several months, that this may just be one of the greatest moments in our church's history. Quality men, godly men, sweet, sweet wives, wonderful upbringing, wonderful families, children. What a historic night. May this memory pivot in our mind for many long years if you should tarry in your coming. Bless these that have come to join and pray with each one. And I pray that this journey that they're upon now and continue to be upon as they've done the work of the ministry for so many years. But now we see they're seasoned. They've already been tested and will continue to be tested. And they've come forth as gold. Bless them, we pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to ask the pastors, the four pastors and their wives, when they're finished, to make their way to the platform here. If you'll go up by the way of Brother Galvan's piano and wait right there, I'd appreciate it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just being a continuing attitude of prayer.